The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 18th day of September, Sunday 2022. And tonight the title of my message was Who is Right and Who is Left? And we're going to start tonight in the book of Jonah, chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and great and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Well, here, you say, well, why in the world was he so determined on being disobedient? He, instead of going to Nineveh, he jumped on a ship going to Tarshish. Well, legend has it that the Ninevites were such a fierce, angry our enemy of the Israelis that when they had killed an Israeli man, they would skin him and hang his hide upon their tents. This is what is said. And so here Jonah was very, very angry that God had spared Nineveh. Now remember, God sent Jonah into Nineveh to preach repentance. But Jonah didn't preach repentance. He preached destruction. He preached judgment. And so when he came in, instead of preaching repent, he was preaching, you had 40 days and 40 days in your history, 40 days and you're gone, 40 days, this could be a parking lot. He went in preaching judgment. And so therefore, he goes on to say that you are a gracious God of mercy, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, I take thee, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Well, see, one thing he forgot, that when he disobeyed God, this gracious God who's long-suffering didn't take his life. In fact, the ship that he was in on, the sailors that threw him into the ocean, and even the three days and nights in the whale's belly, that God was with him, and God spared his life. So here he goes on. He says, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? He's asking a question, and God is chiding him somewhat here too. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and he sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But then God prepared a worm. And when the morning rose the next day, and it was he smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass that when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted, and wished himself to die. And then he said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Again, the Lord here is kind of chiding Jonah somewhat. Jonah has been rebellious. He did not want to listen here. And that's his job, to be obedient to the Lord. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for that which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night, and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So now, here, when he's talking about 60,000, he's talking about over 120,000 children who were not at the age of discernment. And so, let's just say, now we know that children are different and they become to the age of discernment at different times, but let us just, for the sake of it, say, well, that about the age of 9 years old, they learn right from wrong. By that time, they should know right from wrong, okay? And so, you're talking 120,000, and then there will be more than that from the age of 9 into 20 that are at the age of a discernment. That would probably put you up to about 400,000 people. Now, with this, there was an estimated 1 million people there in Nineveh, 1 million people. And Jonah was, he was hoping to see them all perish. He was hoping to see every one of them perish because, again, they were such cruel enemies. Now, Jonah did not want to be the guy to go back to his people, go back to Israel, and tell them, yeah, I'm the one who went to Nineveh preaching repentance, and they did repent, and God spared them, and I'm the guy that went in there, because, again, they were fierce enemies, and Jonah would not be a very popular people in his own country, a very popular man amongst his own people in his own country. And so, here again, as we take a look, sometimes people wish the judgment and destruction would come upon these sinful people. I got to admit, when I see people like Planned Parenthood, they're wicked, evil, what they do, how they hurt little children, how they hurt unborn babies. When I saw that sinful, wicked state legislators there in New York, how they applaud the fact that they could kill innocent babies. These are wicked people. I mean, that state legislator in New York is like in California. They're wicked people. They are God's word, the Bible calls them wicked people. In fact, we're going to get into that a little later on here. But when he's telling them here, and sometimes people wish that the judgment would just, destruction would come upon those sinful people. The wickedness seems to demand immediate punishment. But God is more merciful than we can imagine. Look at how much time he's given the opposition to repent. And, of course, they've got no intention of repenting. He feels compassion for sinners. And those, again, we want judged. And this is why we will often pray in precatory prayers that he will remove people like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and the corrupt Merrick Garland and these people that do so much harm and so much damage to good people, to decent people, to righteous people. And so here, he said, and should I not spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. So now, he's also making a very, very clear distinction on the right and the left. The right stands for righteousness. Stands for righteousness. The left stands for unrighteousness. The right stands for obedience. The left stands for disobedience, okay, or sin, if you will. And so here, I want to turn over now to Ecclesiastes 10. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, we read verses 1 through 5. Now, dead flies caused the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savior. So doth a little folly in him that has reputation for wisdom and honor. Now, here, what he's talking about, the apothecary, and the apothecary was called, it was actually called the perfumer. That was perfumer. But apothecary was where they made natural herbal medicine. Natural herbal medicine that actually heals, that actually cures the ailment, cures the disease. Is what God has given us, the herbs for the healing of the nation. And the different plants. And so, here, what he's making a point that in that apothecary, now remember, the pharmakia is witchcraft. It's wizardry. And this is where you get all of these drugs. This is where we get the word pharmacy today. And people have no idea. The vast majority of people in America are totally clueless. When they have no idea how many people are killed. They're killed every year in this country. Over 250,000 with prescription drugs. Over 250,000. And now, in the past year, over 500,000 people have died between the so-called vax, the weapon, the weapon drug they call a vaccine, and it's a bioweapon that was created as a weapon. Between that and these drugs that are on the streets out there, and the prescription drugs, you've had over a half a million people die just in the past year in this country. And, folks, this is pharmakia. This is pharmakia. It means witchcraft and wizardry. It's also used this word for poisoning. Poisoning. And so here we see that he's saying that dead flies in the ointment of the apothecary. So he's saying that you could have a very, very good ointment. You could have a very good ointment. But if you have... And that word's usually used for the oils, that if you have dead flies in there, then it's totally ruined. It's no good at all. It's ruined. And then he goes on, he compares that, so doth a little folly with him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So he's comparing that with someone who has lived a good life, an honorable life, of a good reputation, and he's made one major one big mistake. And nowadays, you really got to make a big one. I mean, if you are out there, if you're into the world, if you're, say, the media people, if you're, well, a Democrat today, they expect you to sin. It's no big thing. If you commit fornication, if you commit adultery, if you're a sodomite, which You know, God's word in the Bible refers to a sodomite as an abominable thing. LGBTQ is an abomination in God's eyes, okay? And so here, today, but if a man is a righteous man, and he's a good man, and he commits some of the same sins that the liberals commit, well, then his reputation is ruined forever within his community. And I know of a situation where that, where a man who was held an office, held several high offices, very good, and but he was a conservative Christian man, and when he left, he was seduced by a woman that was set there for that purpose, was to seduce him, to get him to promote certain pro-death legislation. Now, that man just ruined his whole reputation. All those years he built up a good reputation, he ruined that. In that one instance, that one night, and that's what it means here, it says, so doth a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Then it goes on to say, a wise man's heart is at his right, but a fool's heart is at his left. Now here, today again, if you believe in God, if you believe in the Word of God, if you believe in things that are good, things that are clean, things that are wholesome, things that are honorable, then they call you right wing. They call you right wing. But if you believe in, well, if you believe in sodomy, let me just stop here for a minute and say, when God calls you a whore, well, you don't have an argument. And this is exactly what's happening with those that have gone a-whoring. They've gone a-whoring, and that's explained in several books in the Bible. Here, Hosea, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, where it refers to those that have gone a-whoring after other gods, whether those other gods were the pro-choice or the LGBT, the transgender, all of these so-called lifestyles, the drag queens, the pedophiles, the adultery, the fornicators, the mainstream media, the human traffickers, the Satanists, the pornographers. We know that those that actually, not only do they practice lying, but they try to perfect lying. I mean, it's unbelievable out there today. Stealing, deep state, and the entire Democratic Party, and the rhinos. Whenever you get three woes in the Bible, you're in big trouble. But God, and that's what happened to hypocrites. He, woe unto hypocrites, woe unto hypocrites, woe unto hypocrites. So here, now he is saying this. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth. And he said to everyone that he is a fool. Now think about this for a minute. His wisdom faileth, okay? This is someone that's turned to the left, and he says to everyone he's a fool. Well, how do they do that? Well, just think about this today. Again, we believe, those on the right believe that lying is a sin. The Bible, in fact, says that all liars will have their place in a lake of fire. Well, on the other side, on the left, they believe that lying is required. It's not an elective. It's required. And again, I've had situations where I've had those on the left try to justify their lying. Some actually accused our Lord Jesus himself of lying. God who cannot lie. And then here, we believe, those on the right, we believe that in the sanctity of marriage, that marriage is only between one man and one woman. That's what God, who gave us the definition of marriage and gave us the institution, But those on the left believe marriage is whatever they want it to be. You can marry animals, or you can marry cars, or whatever. And we played that marriage parody where, in that parody, the one fellow wanted to marry himself. We believe that there are only those on the right. Those on the right, we believe that there are only two genders, male and female. Well, that's reality. That's what God made. That's what it's always been. That's what it's always been, just two genders, male and female. But those on the left, and listen, even the AMA said that they weren't sure what a gender is. Those on the left don't really know what a man or a woman is. Okay? They don't really know. They admit that they don't know. And the AMA said no more putting male or female on birth certificates because we really aren't sure what a male and a female is. Well, folks, that is a fool. That is a fool, according to God's word, the Bible. And those fools have gone a whoring. Now, we believe that killing babies is murder. The very first command that God gives us in the Bible is to be fruitful and multiply. And three times between Genesis 1 and 9, he gives us that direct command to be fruitful and multiply. They believe that killing babies is a constitutional right. Do you understand that? They believe, the left, believe that killing, murdering little innocent children is a constitutional right. These are extremely... God has called these people wicked. God has called these people abominable. God has said these people are whores. Now, you folks out there that are listening to me, the only remedy for what you have done, the only remedy is repentance. While there's time, if you're alive and you're breathing and you're hearing me, do you have time to repent? That time can run out at any time. And if you don't repent, if you harden your heart, you will perish. And you will end up in the fires of hell. God has ruled. It's a done deal. There's no appealing that. So your only remedy is to repent of that sin while there's time. And if you don't, you've got no one but yourself to blame for the horrors of hell. We believe that only women can have babies. Now, what did I just read there? He says here, "And when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool." We believe that only women can have babies. And if you are pregnant, you are a woman. You are not a man. See, now, it wasn't that long ago that this would never have even been argued about by the Democrats themselves. They believe that anyone can conceive and deliver a baby. These people are fools. They're fools. We believe that only females can have menstrual periods. The left believes that anyone who wants to have one can have one. Well, I personally don't know why anybody would want to have one, but that's what the left believes, okay? This is why, again, he's making that point there that those on the left, whenever they... Let me read that again. I'll read it again, okay? "A wise man's heart is at his right, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool." Now, think about that. Think about these people. They don't know what a woman is. They don't know what a man is. They think that men can have babies. Now, we believe that God's Word in the Bible says that we are to work and earn our own living. That if we fail to work, we fail to earn a living and provide for our families, then we're worse than infidels. They believe that other people, like Aoc says if people don't want to work, they shouldn't have to. Those that do work should support those that don't want to. Now, God's Word, the Bible, makes it very clear. Aoc is a fool. Aoc is a fool, okay? Now, going back to where we were left off there, here we read, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. Great off. What's he talking about? He's talking about standing your ground. Not because the ruler has told you that you recant. You recant what you said. Even if you're saying, well, I've just told the truth. I just told the truth. No. I want you to say that what you just said is a lie. Even though it's the truth, I want you to say it's a lie. Well, if you give in, then for yielding pacifieth great, great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich set in low places. Well, he's making a point here with folly. The fools with all of this global warming and all of this lunacy, absolute lunacy that they're talking about. Critical race theory. All of this is lunacy. It's folly. He's calling it folly here, but another word for that, folks, is lunacy. And so here now, I want to go over to Matthew 25. And in Matthew chapter 25, I want to start with verse 31. Now when the Son of Man shall come into his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. So now, the sheep are given the position of righteousness, being put on the right. But the goats are given the position of sinners, unrighteous. Now, again, today, if you hold to things that are good, things that are clean, things that are honorable, things that are decent, things that are godly, you're referred to as a right winger. You're a right winger. In fact, for Christians today, they refer to people like me as an extreme right. Those that are on the extreme right, because I actually hold to and I believe God's Word, the Bible. And so he says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, as much as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now, he's talking about, first of all, he's talking about Israel, the redeemed of Israel, and also he's talking about the church, okay? Those are the least of his brothers that he's referring to here in this, because of the persecution of the world. Now, he says, he goes into those on the left. And this is the Democratic. Do you remember some years ago when Abomination was running, when this man of great, great sin was running for president, they had what they called the Matthew 25 Coalition, the religious left, the Matthew 25 Coalition. Now, it was a mockery. The idea was they were mocking the Word of God. And so the assumption was that there was so much biblical illiteracy that the people would not even pick up on it. They would be so biblically illiterate. And folks, it worked with a lot of people because of biblical literacy. You had people out there saying, you see, Barack Obama's a good Christian man, and they had no idea what the Bible actually teaches. So when I first saw these commercials, I thought, well, what they would bring these people out dressed in clerical garb, okay, and make these statements about how Barack was such a good Christian family man, and he was the head of the religious left. Well, I thought, well, I think I'm going to help him out a little bit with this. I'm going to let people know who the religious left really is, who they really are. This is the apostate church. This is the apostate church. Okay. But listen what God has to say about these people. Now, I started on the radio, and I started hitting it hard. Other people, I noticed later, other pastors and other programs were picking up on that. And it was spreading, and very soon they pulled all those commercials because, hey, guess what? The jig is up. People are on to us. Now here, in verse 41, he says, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Do you hear that? Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Well, no. They believe it's up to the government. The government is supposed to take care of everybody as the government, not as God, but as the government sees fit. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in a prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. And so here, again, he's making a distinction between the right and the left. And again, we go back in today. Again, this was written over 2,000 years ago. And it is so, so absolutely applicable for today that we're living in. We're seeing this. And I truly believe that this is just another one of the signs of God's soon to return, his imminent return. Now, I want to go over to Psalm 94. And in Psalm 94, we read, starting with verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, and render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and shall the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and they afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, you brutish among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formeth the eye, shall he not see? He that chastises the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teaches man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of the law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will cast off his people. The Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteous, and all the people in the heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? And each and every one of us need to say, here I am, Lord, send me. When I said, my foot slippeth, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. And when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? Listen to all those prissy preachers out there that tell you that you must obey the government, no matter how corrupt it is. Don't stand against them, because Romans 13 says you have to obey them, no matter how corrupt they are. That's a lie told by liars. Romans 13 means exactly what Romans 13 says, and it's just the opposite of what these prissy preachers will tell you. Now, we today currently have a government that is extremely corrupt. A government that is the throne of iniquity today out there. And they're framing mischief by law. And I've said this before. Merrick Garland is so corrupt. Again, I truly believe he would have a very hard time finding someone as corrupt as himself to prosecute. What they're doing to President Trump, they're going out there. This is total lawlessness. It's total. They're violating their own laws. And you FBI agents out there that have not gone totally bad, those of you that still have some honor, still have some dignity and some decency, let me ask you this question. Is this what you signed up for? Is this corruption what you signed up for? It's not. And you need to go out and you need to take a stand. And you need to blow a whistle on the corruption that is in the FBI today. Oh, yes, I knew. There were times I had friends, good friends of mine, that worked in the FBI. And they weren't ashamed of who they were. They weren't ashamed of their job. Because they had some integrity. They understood the difference between right and wrong. They wouldn't get involved in the dirty tricks and the deep state operations. Well, that's not the case today. For the upper echelons of the FBI, they have apostatized. They have gone totally corrupted. We just had read about the flies in the apothecary. Boy, I'm going to tell you, they've got a lot of flies within that organization. And so here, He says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous. That's exactly what happened on January 7th. That's exactly what happened on January 7th. Or January 6th. It was January 6th, yeah. And condemn the innocent blood. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and they condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off. As their own wickedness, yes, the Lord shall cut them off. I want to go now. Well, let me go back here. I want to go back here and read this. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Again, folks, if you are a professing Christian, if you profess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you have to acknowledge God has raised us up for such a time as this. He has raised us. The very fact that we are here now at this time and that we are heirs of the kingdom, that means we have a responsibility to stand against this tyranny. Now, we're going to suffer the wrath and hatred from those on the left. But God is going to deliver us from the hand of the wicked. But no one can deliver them, the wicked, from the hand of God. We're called to action against the evildoers and to stand fast without compromise. Yet the workers of iniquity, well, folks, let me move on over here to Micah chapter 3. And in Micah chapter 3, and I'll be there in a minute, so I hope. Okay. Yeah, I got to admit, I am really tired, and while I'm remembering, I want to thank all of those good people today, all of them, the doers of the Word Baptist Church, for the wonderful, wonderful birthday party that they gave me. It was, I was taken by surprise. I didn't suspect a thing, until it was announced that we're having a birthday party right after the morning service, and so, again, I want to thank all the good folks who decided to honor this old preacher with a birthday party. And boy, I'm going to tell you, those ladies can really cook. They did a tremendous job. And I want to thank you for all the nice gifts that you got me, too. I was kind of taken back. Here in Micah chapter 3, we read, and I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel, it is not good for you to know judgment. Is it not good for you to know judgment? So God is doing what? He's asking the leaders, he's talking to the leaders here, and he's asking them, aren't you supposed to know right from wrong? Aren't you supposed to know how to judge people righteously? Who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off of them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as for the flesh within the children. Now, here Micah is denouncing the sins of the leaders, the priests, and the prophets, and those responsible for teaching people the right from wrong. Elders who were supposed to live among the people had moved to Jerusalem and become an elite ruling class. Sound familiar? Does that sound familiar, folks? Now, the leaders who should have known the law and taught it to the people, had set the law aside and become the worst of sinners. And they took advantage of the very people that they were supposed to serve. And all sin is bad, but folks, but the sin that leads others to stray is worse. And so now you say, well, surely they weren't really plucking off the skins from their own people. No, he's using this. But now let me tell you when that is happening in America today. Planned Predators, the University in Pittsburgh, they take these little children, these women that get paid. They get paid to, and like in New York now too, the wicked states in California, where these women who are wicked women, these are Democratic women who are wicked, wicked women, who will carry a baby to term and give birth to a full-term baby, a healthy, and they'll sell that baby to these wicked people to experiment for money, for large amounts of money, to go living in their whoredom. This is a wicked thing. This is and it's such a wicked and evil thing that people don't want to even speak of it, but it's happening today. It's a horrible, wicked thing, horribly wicked. He goes on, "Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, Peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against them. Therefore night shall be unto you that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, and you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then the seers," now listen to this, "then the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded." Folks, these are big pharma. These are big pharma. I don't know if you understand, but according to God's word, the Bible here, Fauci and these people, Fauci's a wizard or a warlock, one of the same. According to God's word, the Bible, he's using pharmakia. He's killed so many people throughout the world, literally millions. And here in this country here, people are dropping dead every day. Normally, I do about 3 funerals a year, about 3, an average of about 3, and I've been doing that for a long, long time now. But this year, already, I've already done 8. Already 8. And the funeral directors will tell you they are really busy. And the coroners will tell you they are really, really busy. Why? Well, those people in the mainstream media, they're doing all that they can, and not to mention, and by the way, I understand, I've heard, I didn't hear it myself, but I heard that some of those in the fake news media, mainstream media, was trying to say that President Trump's visit to Youngstown, his rally in Youngstown, was sparsely attended. Well, we had people that were there. And they said they were massive crowds. They had huge crowds there. And so, what would you expect the fake news media to do? And I got to tell you that Spectrum One, I think Spectrum One may be the worst, the most liberal of them all. I believe that they're probably the most pro-homosexual of all of them out there. Now, he goes on, he says, "Then shall the seers be ashamed and diviners confounded. Yes, they all shall cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgressions, and to Israel his sin. So what is he telling him? He's telling you here that they're going to repent. When God's judgment starts rolling over on them, they're going to be calling upon him and asking for forgiveness. And what is he saying? Nope, don't hear you. Sorry, can't hear you. I want to go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 3 through 10. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto the doctrine which is according to God, godliness, according to God's word of our Lord Jesus Christ, and again, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and stripes of words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, and perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing the gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Do you start to getting a hint? You're getting a picture of who he's talking about. Well, the prosperity preachers fit right into this category. But godliness with commitment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, here, Paul is telling Timothy to stay away from the prosperity preachers of that day, to avoid agreeing over misinterpretations of the Word of God to justify ill-gotten gain. Today, I am seeing a number of the prosperity preachers jumping ship to be a part of the woke corporate horror because they see the coming fulfillment of Revelation 17:15-17. Now, even if they could take all of their money to hell with them, what good would it do? But why are they jumping ship? Okay, all of a sudden, you've got all these prosperity preachers out there that are getting out of the so-called ministry, out of the prosperity preaching, and they're going into the woke corporations. They've started their own companies. Joyce Myers, I'm thinking of all the different ones. Oh, and the ones we always talk about on here all the time are leaving. And Joel Osteen is one that I'm thinking of, Joel Osteen. But many of them now are leaving. Benny Hinn is another. They're getting out of the pulpits, and they're going into business. They're starting their own companies. Now, why are they doing that? Well, they understand they see something that's coming, and they understand the growing anti-Christian sentiment within the country, within the world, because everything is falling exactly into place. It's time now. So they're thinking, well, let me just read it over to you over here in Revelation 17, starting with verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest in the great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, so they're seeing, they know that the Babylon, the economic Babylon, and the political Babylon are going to turn. They're going to turn on the religious Babylon, the world church, and they're going to burn her with fire. Now, let me tell you what those in the media, you've seen over the years how those in the media, especially on Fox News, how they will build up people like Joel Osteen or Rick Warren. But they're not doing it for the reasons you think. They're doing it, they want to build them up, because the higher they go up, the harder the fall. And they, the people, those in the media, they hate to see these people. They refer to them as these hypocrites. They're, as T.D. Jakes says, Jesus is the product that we merchandise. Jesus is the product that we merchandise. And so here, they know they're seeing what's coming. And so they want to get out of the pulpit and be part of the woke church. So instead of being part of the woke corporation, and so instead of being persecuted by the corporations, they want to be the persecutors, a part of that, to going after their former apostate church. But anyhow, and then we come to the last part, and I'm not going to have time to finish tonight, but we finished tonight in Hebrews chapter 3. And in Hebrews chapter 3, now is the time to listen to God. Now is the time to get real with God's people. Well, often, and God's people, you know, I often hear people, they get angry with me when I'm preaching this, that you need to make your salvation sure. You need to make your salvation sure. They say, you're judging me. When it's not me that's judging them, I'm just doing my job. It's the God's word that is judging. Now, it's time to repent and obey while you still can. Because here he tells you that you will not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. He's telling you that. Let me just read this, the last one, because I'm running out of time. And to whom sware he that he should not enter into the rest, but unto them that believeth not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Well, here, because of their unbelief, Israel cannot enter into the promised land. In the same token, because of their unbelief, he's talking about these people that really didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not be able to enter into heaven. Now, I'm out of time for tonight. So, like we do this every night, I'm telling you folks out there, again, just like I just said, that unbelief, if you have not called upon the name of the Lord, you're living on borrowed time. It's like you're walking on a tightrope over a lake of fire, and that's not a good place to be. So if I were you tonight, I would go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, read it, and do it, folks, while there's time. Speaking of time, we're out of time. So, good night. God bless. And always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.